being as is. Saying such things is extra. Though we have Dharma talks, they're only to encourage us to be as we are. It's not that we need anything more. It's that we tend to give rise to thoughts and feelings regarding so-called external objects and so-called internal objects. The sixth ancestor in Zen defined sitting as not giving rise to thoughts, feelings regarding objects externally, and sitting Zen, Zazen means literally sitting Zen. So sitting is, as I just stated, and Zen, meditation, Zazen, is to see and be the nature of our life, who we are, without being perturbed, upset by it. In other words, moment, moment, being free of attachment reaction to characteristics and not being confused about characteristics. Okay. Then, we see, taste, experience who and what we are from the beginning, to use the words original nature, and we manifest this and do what supports us to be who we are. Or the other, say it another way, do what supports us not to constantly feed and grab onto the characteristics and the reaction to characteristics. Characteristics meaning all the ideas we have about, thoughts we have about phenomena, so-called outside phenomena, so-called inside, or dharmas. See, then those dharmas are, we can embrace them. So, I want to talk a little bit about this. What I just quoted was from the sixth ancestor, and the sixth ancestor had, as some of you might know, a number of successes, and most of what we call Zen comes from the successes of the sixth ancestors in China, Japan, Korea, Vietnam. Shenwei, one of the sixth ancestor's successor, has a nice phrase that I thought I'd start with to explore and encourage us to clarify what we're doing. He says, "To make mind go is illness, and to make it come back into concentration is also illness. Both making it go and making it come back are illness. The sutra says the Dharma, the teaching, the way, is without coming and going. Meaning, the Dharma means the life that we are. Or, he says it more clearly, Dharma nature. We say, Buddha nature pervades the whole universe. Dharma nature pervades all locations, he says, which is the same thing. Everything, everywhere, is this. This is non-abiding mind. Mind means not just the way we have it in the level of thoughts or consciousness, but non-abiding mind, heart, which is the nature of what we are. Non-abiding mind of fundamental basis. Non-abiding is fundamentally what we are. And yet, we over and over abide by grabbing on to characteristics. So that's why there's so much emphasis on what we do with characteristics or how hard it is. Now, by characteristics, they only mean all the stories we believe about our life, about others' lives, about events and phenomena, and making our mind go about certain things. Oh, I really want some of that. I feel like that, so I want some of that. I need to get it. And how come he has it and I don't? Just the same way what we don't like. I shouldn't have to put up with this. How come this is coming to me? How come I have so much? How come she's not doing it the way I want it? If we notice that tendency, those habits, those are our opportunity to, if I'll say it, to drill down, so to speak, to settle in. I shouldn't say drill down, to settle in. And yet, I said, non-abiding. And yet I say, to settle into this moment, not to abide, but to be this non-abiding in the midst of ongoing arising, passing, or ongoing seeming changes. See, that's what the way things seem for us. Most of all, we get to do this in terms of our sitting. We get to see this in terms of what we're doing as we sit still. As we be present, as we be this non-abiding moment that is not about so-called me and so-called world, but this non-abiding moment that's the whole universe, that might be your eating the food in your bowl, or taking a walk, or sitting, or washing dishes. That's the reason the sixth ancestor emphasizes what he does. See? That's why he says, and I'll go back to it, not giving rise to thought in regard to whatever objects externally or internally appear. Not allowing being perturbed by objects. Or, when that we're perturbed, to, in a sense, use that perturbing as the opportunity to be as is, as opposed to be the story of the perturbing, be the story of the reaction to the characteristics. Notice, even while we're sitting, making the mind go in one way or another. Making the mind go means chattering about, means holding on to, upset about thoughts and feelings. Even holding on to stories about outside, inside. So, even holding on to a story about my state of being at this moment. I need to be more concentrated, or I need to be less sleepy, less this, less that. In a way, treating ourself as an object . See, it's not about getting rid of any characteristics or even, quote, negative characteristics. See? Never about that. What arises is our opportunity in the midst of this moment. It's the opportunity, if I say it, to turn around and to come back to the present moment. I'll go back to the sixth ancestor so we could hear again . It's to allow the who and what we are. This, use the word, purity of one's original nature, thought moment by thought moment. And that seeing this, not seeing it as something external or in our mind or thinking about, I see this, but seeing it in the sense of experiencing this for ourselves allows us to know for ourselves, to be for ourselves who and what we are. See, this is why I said being as is, because all we encounter is just ourself. This is what we say when we chant in the Heart Sutra, living Prajnaparamita. Prajnaparamita means the wisdom of non-thought, not thinking about characteristics. Or if I say it another way, seeing for ourself the non-self or the emptiness, if I use such kind of word, which is exactly the forms of our life, the forms of our experience. So, okay, I wanted to just clarify this a little further, and then we can begin talking about this as what and how we are in Sesshin, because that's the point of talking, to support us in being this moment, being this non-coming, non-going moment, I say, yet non-coming, non-going, this we say in the four practice principles, being just this moment. Now, who isn't just this moment? What do we have to do to be? Is there anything? And yet, sometimes we need to turn our thinking and our characteristic attachments, or attachments or characteristics, habits, back so that we can be as is, rather than go out in all directions, make our mind go. Mind doesn't mean thought just, it means emotion, it means characteristics, it's all the ways of being. Even if we try to make it a certain way because we think that's concentrated purity of some sort, that too will get us in difficulty. See? From the beginning, you are nothing but this all-pervading, non-abiding, fundamental nature. Just use all too many fancy words. I could even use other ones and say clear and pure. Even say clear, pure, bright mirror. But I'll leave that for the end of session. I'll talk about that the last 2 days. So I'll stop now, and we can maybe explore this a little as a way to clarify what we're doing, how we could make and allow this form of Sesshin to support us in being as we are. So, yes, I mean, what I was, the second quote was from this Shenwei, who's his successor. But yes, the sixth ancestor is saying that too. To try to concentrate is to be perturbed about various states internally. It's to treat states of being as objects, and giving rise, this one is good, I should try this one is bad, this is what I need to get rid of. See? Sitting means not giving rise to thought, regard to objects. This is external, because he goes external and internal. So he says, Zen means to see nature without being perturbed internally. That's again, that's the perturbed about what. So concentration means there is such a thing called samadhi, but samadhi in a sense is natural. Prajna samadhi, if they use that kind of term, is the natural presence. It's not an artificial state that I concentrate, because if it's about I concentrate, then every value that comes from concentrate reinforces this I that's concentrating as a more and more solid thing. See? The sixth ancestor says, he keeps coming back and forth and using different ways to define this in order to clarify. Before we said one thing, now he's going to say, Chan means externally to be free of characteristics. Stillness means internally to be without confusion. See, now, so in a sense, turn it. Free of characteristics means that circumstances and conditions don't determine, aren't the basis of our reactions. We don't become confused internally about conditions, or, if I say it another way, we can practice with the confusion that arises about the conditions. I said being as is. So the sixth ancestor says, to see for oneself, thought moment by thought moment. That's a traditional expression, thought moment. To see for oneself, thought moment by thought moment, the purity of one's original nature, and practice and cultivate it. This is accomplishing the Buddha's truth. So what does it mean? It means being this thought moment, which is this whole universe right now. Of course, it's much faster than that. We've talked about this once upon a time in class. There's a calculation of the thought moments in 1 second, and it's, I don't know, several hundred thousand thought moments. But that's just a traditional Buddhist calculation. And strangely enough, though its source is about 2,500 years ago, it isn't so far from what they find with MRIs and fMRIs analysis of the nature of chemical, electrical reactions in so-called brain, nerves, neurological system. So, if we constantly are moving, then essentially we're constantly giving reaction to characteristics. That's one of the reasons he emphasizes stillness. We feed our reactions if we're constantly moving, physically or mentally. Or at least we need to notice the desire to move with our thoughts, this, or physically keeping on readjusting ourselves in all sorts of ways. Because we're not willing to rest as this moment. Be as is. Now it's a habit, but see, so he uses the word chan and stillness without being internally without. Stillness is sitting Stillness is samadhi. So did I answer what you asked? The point of speaking here is not for us to set up some sort of judgment of our life or our practice, but rather as reminders of what in it is to be as we are. And if I say it in such a provisional way, in a sense, as we are is always available. I'll say below, but it's not really below, because there is no below. But it's below the ordinary characteristic reactive habit. And yet we have to settle into the characteristic habit and even the reaction, experiencing this moment, which is the entrance to this moment, being willing to experience it in the midst of how we think about it, in the midst of any reaction to it, and still experientially being present is what opens this moment up from any characteristic limitations and boundaries or dualism that we place on it. Explaining it is one thing, that's not it, but it's an explanation in order to encourage us to do what we need to do. And yet the doing is not about making the mind be a certain way. But being as we are. One, two.
Listening, I can't think of anywhere else I've ever been that would allow me to be this stillness, rather other than right here. We talk also about that our practice is when we're not on the cushion.
Yes.
And still being who we are while all this is going on around us.
That's right. And stillness is in the midst of activity. And stillness is even in the midst of the activity of sitting still. It doesn't exclude the activity of the cars coming by and the vroom and the body movement that even as we're still occurs, and the seeming arising passing of thoughts and emotions. They come, they go. Inside so-called comes and goes, outside so-called comes and goes. And yet, Shen Wei says, this is non-abiding mind of fundamental basis. Non-abiding mind that pervades. So, what is this? Doesn't come from some words that someone else is going to tell us, but through our own experiencing of this that we are. That's why the emphasis in practice is always just that. It's our own experiencing of knowing for ourselves what and who we are. Not because we thought it out, but because this is what we know. Just like I know, I lift this cup up and I know the cup in my hand, I know the solidity of the cup, I know the liquid, not because I figure it out, see, that's why our practice is the functioning of Sashin, the functioning of us together and individually, which isn't two, in sitting and walking and all the other activities. The functioning of us, including the cars passing by, that's nothing but our life at the moment passing by.
Exclude. I paid some attention to this thing that's been in the news lately about Ferguson, Missouri.
Yeah.
I guess everybody knows. It's just been all over the news.
Yeah.
And it struck me watching this how confusing the whole thing seems to be. I mean, who's right and who's wrong, and you get all these points of view, all these people who make a living expressing a point of view about it, who's right and who's wrong. And it just struck me that nobody is either able to or wants to take a step back and look at, I want to say the big picture, look at the whole thing, look at, and we say, this person shouldn't have done that. Well, you know, in Zen we talk about cause and effect. And there's no end to cause and effect. And if someone shoots somebody, it's because they were terrified. What were they terrified of? And you can see causes and you can see effects. But what we tend to do, and I noticed that I do this in my practice and in my life, I tend to think that what I see and what I believe about something is the truth, is what it is. And that's all that I need to know. And how often I don't, or I'm not able to take a step back and see, this is just a piece of something. This is just a part of something. And it's not all that there is. And you know, we talk about abiding. I think sometimes that's what abiding is we grab onto an idea or a view or a perception and think, now this is the reality, and ignore everything else.
We often use the word attachment or clinging, which is what you're talking about, but in a way the fact that attachment, clinging occurs is itself nothing but a habit, and yet it's the opportunity, if we practice with it, see, to be this, what the sixth ancestor calls without thought. Munian, Runian is in China, my poor Chinese. What, without thought is what he defines, describes as the wisdom samadhi, prajna samadhi. And how does he define it? It means seeing dharmas, seeing phenomena, that's inside, outside. And yet, he says, not attached in a tainted way to any of it. And while it manifests, extend everywhere, not attached to the place of objects, and being as is, or as he calls it, original, pure nature that we are in the midst of this. So now, this is sounds wonderful, but really what we have to do is see, be, make the effort in the midst of where so-called attachment arises, to allow that attachment to support us in being as is this moment. Whether it's to turn that attachment, as I said, and look at the source of it, the arising of it, look at the eye of I'm attached, I want, I don't want, rest in this experiencing different ways we, according to circumstances and conditions, can do what's called for right now, right now. And the simplest to discover is as we sit, that the very sitting and sitting with others supports us to be right here. Without knowing how it's doing it or why, as we sit, it's we get to sense that. And that's the form of sesshin, of, you, if I use that word, touching mind, unified heart mind, that supports us. Not that it doesn't all the rest of the time, but we're so much more blinded by our belief in characteristics and stories that we can't see that the characteristics are nothing but this manifested true nature.
Something I find helpful is when I notice that I'm caught up, irritated at someone, the kinds of things that tend to arise, to ask myself, is this true? Mm-hmm. Is this true?
What you're saying about that, your irritation.
What I'm believing about this.
Yeah.
Is this true? And how do I know this is true?
Yes.
That's very helpful.
Good. I don't want to talk too long. But
well, I was just going to say, I appreciate what you just said a few minutes ago about how maybe this is not what you meant, but the words of the sixth ancestor, or it could be some other Zen master, they often sound so I guess the word that comes to mind is, I don't know if this is a word, but aspirational, that here's this thing to aspire to, and I notice that there's this habit of, I'll be like that, I'll do that, even as they may be saying there's nothing to do or nothing to be, but that what you said was that it's, I don't know, just pointing out that it's the just ongoing every moment being present with whatever it is, confusion or physical discomfort or some kind of obsessive thought stream. I think, well, I see for myself the tendency is always to believe I'm supposed to get away from that. That's the direction I need to be moving, is getting away from that, and that never there seems to be helpful. So.
Yes. Always it's being as we are. It's nothing that's needed. You don't need anything extra. And he even says that specifically. Remember, this is of course a translation of Tang period Chinese. So the original nature is in itself pure and still, confused only by objects seen and objects thought of. When no longer confused while seeing objects, that is true stillness, true samadhi, true being who we are. See? Or he quotes even sutras, of course. He says the Bodhisattva Samvara Sutra states, my original nature is pure. My means yours. Every one of you is mine. It's not some special person. Pure is just one way you could translate that word. You could translate that word in lots of different ways. See? And yet it's up to us for ourselves to see, experience, be, and manifest this original. Original means that it always is so and not dependent upon conditions and circumstances, not dependent upon our abilities to make the mind go or make the mind concentrated. If it were dependent on that, it would be useless. See, if it were dependent on being in a certain place or a certain way, see, Dharma nature pervades everywhere. That means in every state of being that we are is nothing but this manifesting. This, so that's why I could say what we're doing is being as is, and yet it requires us, as long as we keep attaching, it requires us to make effort. Just because otherwise the attachments lead to trouble of all sorts. And if they don't, great. We could continue this tomorrow, but if you have any last questions or comments you want to bring up, please do. I'll go to my plan is, and I might as well say it, is tomorrow to pick up an ancestor several generations later. And since today and tomorrow I'll talk of male ancestors, the next 2 days after that I'll pick up some ancestors who were women, that'll be several generations after that, more than several, about 500 years after that, 600 years, 700 years after that. So, sixth ancestor in Shenwei is Tang period China, so it's about the 7th century through the 8th century. let's see, sixth ancestor, we don't exactly have dates, but Shen Wei lived 684 to 758 Common Era in China, and sixth ancestor. Let's see. I mean, we're not sure about the dates on the sixth ancestor, but we give him dates of 638 to 713. You know, that's sort of. I bring this up not because you have any need to remember this, but just so that you have a little sense of placing this chronologically and historically. And despite the fact that it's a different culture and a different time, he's talking about the same things that we humans do. See, that's the important point of our practice. It's not dependent on anything, and it's not focused on any particular culture or time or condition. It's the nature of who and what we humans are. Male, female, monastic, lay, Chinese, American, or any other variations. And we don't have to talk about the practice of, actually, we can't even, well, actually, I was planning on, I'll leave that for the last day, a little bit, talking about the practice of all sorts of other beings. That's right, so maybe on the last day I might have both a female ancestor and a male ancestor, if I do that. We'll see. I might change my mind as we go along. But for now, our practice is the practice of being human, and yet being human includes cars and trees and all the other beings and manifestations and characteristics of this life that we are, this universe that we are. Okay, since no one else. Thank you.
Copyright Elihu Genmyo Smith.